Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord? And we said, Lord, you are worthy to be praised. Lord, you deserve the best. Are you giving him your best in everything? Huh? Do you give him the best of your time? Do you give him the best of your praises? Do you give him the best of what you have, your substance? Do you give him the best of you yourself? Because he's worthy to be praised and he deserves our best. I just want to start by asking you a question as an introduction to what we're going to share about today. As much as we are saying the Lord deserves the best, do you know that he has got in his mind the best for you? Huh? God created the heavens and the earth, and he created this place for us to be here. And his intention was that we may enjoy the good of the land, the best of the land. So, if you were to be asked, are you enjoying the good of the land? Are you enjoying the best of what God has in store for you? By the way, there are people who think that it's sinful to have things go well with you. But my God says he knows the thoughts that he has about me. They are not thoughts of harming me, but they are thoughts of giving me a good and an expected future. So you can't convince me any other way. The Lord has got the best intentions for me at heart. So the question I'm having for you, knowing that the Lord has got the best intentions for you at heart, do you feel you are living to the best of what God has in store for you? Are you living in divine health to the best that God has in store for you? Are you living a successful life, even financially, to the best that God has for you? Every other thing that you may think, which the world calls success, are you successful? Or you give an excuse as if it's sinful to be successful? My God says, when he created us, in the book of Genesis, it says God, after he created man, he said, prosper, be successful, take charge. That's what his intention is for us when we are here on the earth. Now, I'm asking you that because it's a serious thing that we need to always think about. It's not that God does not have good things in store for you. It's just that you are not taking it. Okay? Do you sometimes look at people who don't even serve God, people who are not even Christians, and you think, this guy seems to be even successful than I. I keep on praying, I fast, I do all the things. But they do whatever and still things work well for them. And you start even feeling like you are jealousy of an unbeliever because it seems they are more successful than you. Don't you think it's not supposed to be like that? Don't you think that the father has the best for his children? Huh? Okay, let's look at Ecclesiastes. Chapter 10, verse 7, New King James Version. We'll start with you, Mr. Mukosi. Ecclesiastes 10, 7, New King James Version. I want you to look at this because the preacher, Solomon, if he lived during our days, he would have been one of the greatest researchers. He probably would be having PhDs and PhDs after PhDs because he researched life. You remember, even after researching life, there was a time when he even said, meaningless, meaningless, all is meaningless. He said, I even tried this, I tried alcohol, I tried having, by the way, they said he had 1,000 wives. He said, I tried all these things. And at the end, I realized it's meaningless. Amen? So now, I want you to look at one of the observations that he had. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 7, New King James Version, read.
I have seen servants on horses, while princes walk on the ground like servants.
Do you get that? So what he was saying is that, so princes, when you look at princes, in those days, horses were like the mode of transport. If you had a horse, you, yeah, that's That's a big car. So, Mr. Netanyahu, your beast, it's that horse. So they say, I've seen servants on horses. But princes were walking on the ground like servants. Is that not surprising? Huh? He's saying, I've seen that. And he was surprised. Because in his mind, princes were supposed to be the ones who are riding on horses. And servants were the ones who were supposed to be walking on the ground. But because princes don't know who they are, they're walking on foot when servants are riding. Okay? The problem is not with your father. The problem is not with your maker. The problem is your mentality where you think it's fine to live like a servant when you are actually a prince. Tell your neighbor, by the way, what is a lady prince? Huh? But then what's the many prince? Huh? Princes. Okay. So it means he saw servants working like princes. Okay. So whoever you are sitting next to, if it's a lady, greet them as a princess. If it's a gentleman, greet them as a prince. Amen. And you know that the devil doesn't think you are a prince. The devil doesn't think you are a princess. The devil make you think that those out there are the princes and princess. Okay? But look at this. Go to Psalms 37, 1 to 11. Mr. MJ will do it in the contemporary English version. CEV. I'm just laying this, then I'll tell you what we're going to talk about so that you understand this. Because sometimes we look at people of the world and we think, I'm serving God, I'm doing all this thing, I'm so much committed to God. You know, the other time I had this funny idea. I was looking, you see, when sickness attack the bodies, sometimes I find people who are drinking a lot and people who are smoking a lot. And in my mind, I thought, but this one is inviting sickness in their body. But you still find them well. And then I would think, but then, what about the body of somebody who's keeping his body well? Should that be the body then that gets sick when the body that actually deserves to be sick is not getting sick? Okay? Then I realized, actually, the problem is not the body that's not getting sick. The problem is the body that's getting sick when it should not be getting sick. So in other words, there's nothing wrong with that one where the grace is still with them. They are drinking themselves to death. They are smoking the best they could, and they are still fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Grace is still with them. But then you don't need to be jealous of them. You just be healthy yourself. Amen? You just tell the devil, devil, you've got no rights to put that sickness on my body. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. My body is not the temple of sicknesses. But because you think it's fine for you to embrace that, when actually people who should be embracing it are not embracing it. Because sometimes I think of that and I think, no. But then I realize, actually the problem is not the other person. The problem is you is tolerating the enemy dictating terms. So look at this, Psalms 37, 1 to 11. Now I want you to look at this closely, because even if you think people in the world are successful, even if you think they are better off than you, God has already made a declaration. Read.
Don't be annoyed by anyone who does wrong, and don't envy them. They will soon disappear like grass without rain. Trust the Lord and live right. The land will be yours and you'll be saved.
I like that. So in other words, you're seeing the other one, it seems things are well with them, but they are doing the wrong things, they are doing all those things. He says their fate is sealed. But for you, don't be concerned about that. Trust in the Lord and live right. If you do that, the land will be yours and you will be safe. So things will be well with you. Amen? So today I want to talk with you about if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, it's you. It's not about the other one who seems to be getting something they shouldn't be getting in your mind. It's about you who is not getting what you should be getting. So he says, don't worry about that. Live right and the land will be yours and you will be safe. Continue.
Do what the Lord wants and he will give you your heart's desire.
Oh, do you see the recipe? Tell your neighbor, do you see the recipe? So you do what the Lord wants and he will give you the desires of your heart. You know, sometimes people say, no, you know, I don't have to think high. I don't have to think of these things. See, just now, maybe I'm sinning because of the what? He wants to give you the desires of your heart. What is the desire about your future? What's the desire about whatever you have, your family? Okay? You want to have a successful family, I hope. You want to have blessed children, I hope. I hope you also want to get married, some of you who are not yet married. He wants to give you the desires of your heart. So do what the Lord wants, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Tell your neighbor, have desires. Because the Lord wants to give you the desires of your heart. Yeah. I desire good things for myself.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. And I'm enjoying the good that the Lord has in store for us. Amen. Desire good for your own family. Desire even just to be at peace. When you have to go to sleep and you fall asleep. Okay? Even when things in your family, for things to be well. Have desires, have good desires. And the Lord wants to give you the desires of your heart. But you do what he wants. Continue.
Let the Lord lead you and trust him to help.
Mm.
Then it will be as clear as the noonday sun that you were right.
Yeah, so it means, he says, if you just keep on doing right, it will come clear that you were right. So don't be swayed by what you see the people in the world seems to be getting. Your miracle is on the way. You need to keep doing right and the land will be yours. And at the end, you will be proved right. Continue.
Be patient and trust the Lord.
Mm.
Don't let it bother you when all goes well for those who do sinful things.
So he says, don't let it bother you. When things seem to be going well for those who do sinful things. And don't even be concerned and looking at their race. Consider your race. The other time I was telling you about, I don't know if I told you this one, at primary school. I mean, there are things that the pastor was never good at. So one of them was sprinting and running. Okay? So sometimes we would be running and my thing is keeping on checking how many people are still behind me. And that's the recipe of getting to be the one who's behind. Have you noticed that? So people who are good runners, they don't look at, they focus on their lane. Now, if you're keeping on doing this, you will do like what your pastor got when he was still in primary. Amen? That's not a way to win the race. You win the race by focusing on the race and focus on your lane. And you look at the goal. Amen? It will also help you not even to be jealous about other people. Because now if you're keeping on looking at others, you are going to even think, that one, why are things well with that one? The thing is not why are things well with that one. That's not a problem. Why is it not well with you? Work on that. That's your lane. Continue.
Don't be angry or furious. Anger can lead to sin. All sinners will disappear, but if you trust the Lord, the land will be yours.
You see, according to the Lord, you will be the one that is still there at the end. In Afrikaans, they say, om laste te kan lach. Amen. You will think the pastor is very good at Afrikaans. That's the one he memorized. He who laughs last laughs the best.
Amen.
Amen. So it doesn't matter if they think things are well with them and that my time is coming.
Yeah.
Tell your neighbor, my time is coming. Just stay close. Amen?
Amen.
Because my time is coming. Amen. Then I don't have to be furious at what they are getting because I've got my allotted in life. Continue.
Sinners will soon disappear, never to be found. But the poor will take the land and enjoy a big harvest.
Amen. So it seems the Lord has got something in store for me. And I'm going to enjoy the good of the land. Isaiah 1:19. Just look at that in the Isaiah 1:19 in the New King James Version, Mr. Mukosi. Because this is where our subject lies. Isaiah 1:19, New King James Version. I want you to look at that because that is what the Lord is saying. And if we listen more to what people say than what God says, we are going to fail in life. So read Isaiah 1:19, New King James Version.
If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land.
Well, we read it says the land will be yours. Now here it says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. So if you are not eating the good of the land, troubleshoot. Who should be blamed? People who are standing on your way. Huh? It says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. It's got nothing to do with other people. So it means there is the issue of willingness, there is the issue of obedience. Sometimes people are willing, but they are not obedient. They are not obedient to what the Lord wants them to do. Some people are not even willing. They don't mind living like servants when they are supposed to be living like princes or princesses. Is it princesses? Yeah, we're learning English. So when they are supposed to be living like princes or princesses. Amen. So go to Malachi 3, 13 to 18. I want you to look at this in the message. Mr. MJ, you will do it in the message translation. I want you to look at this because people who keep on comparing themselves with others, they don't succeed because they are keeping on checking on others instead of focusing on their lane. And say, the Bible says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. God usually put the responsibility of your success upon yourself. He puts the responsibility of your breakthrough upon yourself. So if you are doing good, don't worry. Your breakthrough is coming. God is faithful. So Malachi 3, 13 to 18 message, Mr. MJ.
God says, you have spoken hard, rude words to me. You ask, when did we ever do that? When you said, it doesn't pay to serve God.
Okay, look, how God doesn't like it when... By the way, do you know that when you are talking even with other people, God hears? So he says, you have been rude to me. You've been speaking hard words to me. And they said, how did we do that? He said, when you said it doesn't pay to serve God. Have you ever thought of that? So he says, don't do that because that's being rude to him. Continue.
What do we ever get out of it? When we did what he said and went around with long faces, serious about God of the angel armies, what difference did it make?
You see these people, they're thinking, we have been serving God, doing this, having long faces, fasting. What difference did it make? Continue.
Those who take life into their own hands are the lucky ones.
Mm.
They break all the rules and get ahead anyway.
Mm. You see what he's looking at? He says, it seems those ones, so these people were talking. They were saying this, and God says, and that's being rude. If you tell me about those people, and you're not telling me about what I said to you, continue.
They push God to the limit and get by with it. Then those whose lives honored God.
This is what I want. I don't want those ones who are rude to God. Those ones who keep on comparing themselves with people of the world. I want these ones whose lives honor God. Look at these ones.
Then those whose lives honored God got together and talked it over.
Yeah, they don't talk like the other ones. These ones, let's hear.
God saw what they were doing and listened in.
I like it when God sees what we're doing and he listens in and he finds you quoting scriptures. He finds you saying, the Lord is faithful, my brother. Your miracle is on the is coming.
Amen.
Continue.
A book was opened in God's presence and minutes were taken of the meeting.
Ow.
Bible.
So as you're meeting and discussing with those, a book was taken and minutes were taken. Don't you think in the minutes it should find, oh, and she quoted Mark 11, verse 23. She quoted Numbers 11, verse 23. By the way, Numbers 11, 23 says, God was saying to Moses in the ERV, don't limit my power. I will prove to you I can do what I said I can do. Amen. Amen? So imagine somebody talking, by the way, I know God's power. Keep on standing, my brother, and minutes are taken. Mm-hmm.
With the names of the God-fearers, written down.
Mm-hmm.
All the names of those who honored God's name.
Mm.
God of the angel armies said, they are mine. All mine.
Amen.
They will get special treatment when I go into action.
Tell your neighbor, I will get special treatment from God. Because I belong to him.
Amen.
Amen. He says they will get special treatment. They are mine. Yeah. I claim them. They will get special treatment. They will be treated like princes and princesses. Yeah. Continue.
I treat them with the same consideration and kindness that parents give the child who honors them.
You see how God wants to treat you? Huh? Continue.
Once more, you'll see the difference it makes between being a person who does the right thing and one who doesn't. Between serving God and not serving him.
You see, according to God, it will be clear who serves God and who doesn't. Hmm? Okay, link it with Mr. Mukosi. Read for us Hebrews 6:10. Good News Translation, GNT. I want you to look at this. God sees everything and he hears everything. He sees your labor of love, your diligence in serving him, your love for him, your commitment to him. He sees all that. Amen? And he doesn't forget it. And he wants to reward you. Hebrews 6:10, good news.
God is not unfair. He will not forget the work you did for him, and the love you showed for him in the help you gave and are still giving to other Christians.
Amen. Tell your neighbor, God is not unfair. He will not forget what you do for him, what you do for other people. Yeah, just a matter of time. You are going to reap your harvest. So that's why some of us, we keep on doing the right thing. We keep on planting and keep on being good, keep on loving God, keep on praying, keep on giving, keep on doing whatever I know is right, so that I will keep on harvesting the good things. Because some of you, you want to eat the good of the land, but you are not obedient. You cannot eat the good of the land if you are not obedient. Isn't it? You know exactly what you must do, and you keep on saying, God will understand. Pastor Josephine, last week, she was teaching us about standing in the gap, and she told us about some people who think God will understand. And then you just not doing what you're supposed to do. You know you're supposed to do this. You know God has spoken to you about this, but you're still looking at others. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. So I want us to look at the example of the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1 to 18, Mr. MJ. So we're going to look at the Israelites because I always equate the journey of a Christian with the journey of the Israelites from slavery in Egypt to the promised land in Canaan. You remember God said he was taking them to the land that flows with milk and honey. But do you know that when they were about to get into that land, there were giants who were stopping them from getting what God promised them? So similarly, God has so many promises for you. He wants everything to go well with you. But there is an enemy out there who is called the devil, who hates you, who is out to kill, to steal, and to destroy, who doesn't want things to go well with you, who enjoys it when you are in pain, who wants to see you crushed, who wants to see you disappointed, who wants to see you failing. That's your enemy. But God wants it to be well with you. You know, Isaiah says, tell the righteous, it shall be well with them. They will eat the fruit of their labor. So now, look at the Israelites. The thing that he wanted from them was obedience. So if you are obedient to the Lord, the rest will work out. If you are willing and obedient, blessings will follow you. Just obey God and do good. Continue to live well for him. By the way, even when he comes back, is he able, going to be able to say, well done, you good and faithful servant? You were very much obedient to me when I prompted you to speak to your neighbor about the gospel, telling them about my love for them. You did that. Well done, you good and faithful servant. I'm doing my best to please him because I know when he comes back, he will make me account for the assignment that he gave me in this life. And I believe he has given each one of us assignments. You remember when he said when he went, he gave some talents, another one 5, another one 2, another one. When he came back, he wanted to see how each one of them used the talents he gave them. So you are going to account to God how you lived in this life. Are you doing the best? Or are you still looking around at others, comparing yourself with others? Focus on your lane. Deuteronomy 8, 1 to 18, good news.
Obey faithfully all the laws that I've given you today, so that you may live, increase in number, and occupy the land.
Amen. So obey faithfully. So you see, tell your neighbor, obedience is the key. He says, obey faithfully all the laws I've given you today so that you may live, increase in number, and occupy the land. You will eat the good of the land. You will take charge. You will succeed. Go to verse 2.
Remember how the Lord your God led you on this long journey through the desert.
Okay, now I want to show you something. We're going to learn from these Israelites. They moved from Egypt to the promised land. But do you know that when he took them from Egypt to the promised land, he did not tell them about the desert? He just told them about the promise. So it's like you also as a child of God. God tells you the promise. He does not tell you about the desert that you're going to go in. He wants you to take a step of faith to the promised land. Okay? So reread verse 2.
Remember how the Lord your God led you on this long journey through the desert this past 40 years, sending you hardships to test you, so that he might know what you intend to do and whether you will obey his commands.
I want you to look closely at that. That's very powerful. So it says, when you were going through the desert, when you were being tested, was to see whether you will still obey him even if you are going through the desert. Ask your neighbor, are you going to keep on obeying God even when you are going through the desert? Are you going to keep on tithing even when it's like financially you are in the desert? Because many people serve God when it's convenient. You don't serve God by convenience. You serve God by commitment. Amen? So in other words, I don't tithe because it's convenient to tithe. I don't give because it's convenient to give. I don't pray because it's convenient to pray. You remember when, Paul tells Timothy, preach the word in season and out of season. In other words, you preach the word. You mustn't be a Christian whose life depends on weather. So he says, when you were going through the desert, I wanted to see if you will keep on obeying me even when you are going through the desert. There are people who, when they go through the desert, they run away from God. You know that? When things are difficult, they quit. Tell your neighbor, it's actually a bad time to quit when things are difficult. Because that is the time you need God the most. Yeah. If you are quitting when you are in trouble, that's the bad time to quit. Because then you are just a ready-made food for the enemy. Okay? You don't quit when things are difficult. You trust God. You fight your way out of the hole as you trust God. So he says, when you were going through the desert, I allowed those hardships to come to you to see if you will still obey me even when you are going through hardships. I hear a lot of people, actually, I'm linking this also to giving. I hear a lot of people actually saying, you know, my situation, I'm so much in debt, I'm so much this, that God will understand. I don't have to do this, I don't have to do that. He says, I allowed those hardships and those testing times to see if you will still obey me. Because obedience is not a convenience. I obey God because I love him. I obey him because I know it pays to be obedient. Continue.
He made you go hungry, and then he gave you manna to eat, food that you and your ancestors has never eaten before. He did this to teach you that you must not depend on bread alone to sustain you, but on everything that the Lord says.
I like this. So when God allows you sometimes to go through difficult times, sometimes allows you to go hungry, sometimes allow you to be tested, it's so that you may know that you don't have to depend on bread alone or on natural sustenance. You've got to know that you depend on the word of God. Amen. Continue.
During these 40 years, your clothes have not worn out, nor have your feet swollen up. Remember that the Lord your God corrects and punishes you just as parents discipline their children. So then, do as the Lord has commanded you. Live according to his laws and obey him. Then the Lord your God is bringing you into a fertile land. A land that has rivers and springs,
mm-hmm.
and underground streams gushing out into the valleys and hills.
Okay, Mr. MJ, tell us verse 7 again. What is the Lord bringing us into?
A land that has rivers and springs.
A fertile land. A land that has rivers and
springs.
A land with underground streams gushing into the valleys and hills. This is the land of plenty. Amen. Tell your neighbor, the Lord is bringing you into a land of plenty. Verse 8.
A land that produces wheat and barley, grapes, figs, pomegranates, olives, and honey. There you will never go hungry or ever be in need.
This what does this verse sound like? Psalms 23?
Yeah.
Verse 1. Actually, one pastor, I was sharing something with the other pastor yesterday. He said, I like Psalm 23 verse 1 in the NIV. So read it in NIV. In NIV, go to Psalms 23. So here he says, there you will never go hungry or ever be in need. Now, if you look at verse 23, chapter 23 of Psalms in the NIV, it does not say the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Mm-mm. What does it say? Psalm 23:1 NIV.
The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing.
It's different. Yeah. When you say, I shall not want, it's still in future. When you say, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. That's bold. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Because he has brought me into this land of plenty. Amen? And he wants to do me good. So, according to God, it's already set up for you. That's why it says, the Lord will set up a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Amen. Then it's up to me whether I want to dine with him. Continue. No, go to verse 11. No, verse 10. Then we'll go 11, 10, start from 10.
You will have all you want to eat, and you will give thanks to the Lord your God for the fertile land that he has given you.
You see, that's God's intention, that it may be well with us, that we may eat the good of the land. But when things are going well, verse 11.
Make certain that you do not forget the Lord your God. Do not fail to obey any of his laws that I am giving you today. When you have all you want to eat and have built good houses to live in, and when your cattle and sheep, your silver and gold, and all your other possessions have increased, be sure that you do not become proud and forget the Lord your God, who rescued you from Egypt, where you were slaves.
I like this. It says he took me from where I was a slave, where I was a servant walking on foot. He rescued me. But when things are going well with you now, and it says when your gold is multiplying, when you have eaten and are full, when you have built good houses, do you see that? Tell your neighbor, the Lord is also interested in me building a good house. It's just that when you have done that, he says, don't forget the Lord and think that you are succeeding on your own. Yeah. I mean, old people usually never wanted to be rich, old Christians of old, because they said, if I get rich, I will forget the Lord. There is that risk if you don't know the Lord well. But if you already know the Lord said, you can build good houses, you can eat all you want, but don't forget the Lord your God. So in my view, whether you are rich or you are poor, it doesn't determine whether you will be obedient or not. There are poor people who are stubborn. It doesn't mean poverty. Some people think that when you are poor, you are holy. Don't confuse poverty with holiness. Amen? Yeah. So he says, when things go well with you, don't forget the Lord your God. So it means things can still go well with me and I'm successful. Like some of us. By the way, some of us are successful here on the earth. But we don't forget the Lord our God. Amen? Amen. 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 That is it. So it means when things are going well with us, we know who brought us here. We know it's his grace that has made us who we are today. The other time I was joking with the other people, I said, some of us went through Bantu education, but look at where we are today. Bantu education or not, we succeed because our God is God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So in other words, I don't succeed because things of this world are working out that way. I succeed because who is my Father?
Amen.
Amen. The Lord is my God. You know, there's even this thing about where people, they would look at other people and call them foreigners. And even have hate for foreigners. These are foreigners. And that's that. They just don't know that in God's books, you can be a king in a foreign land. You can be a Moses and go and rule in Egypt. Amen. So it's got nothing to do with what people think about me. I take charge. Actually, the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So there are no no-go zones for God. As a child of God, I can go anywhere and be in take charge. Because he did not say I must take charge in South Africa only. He gave us the land and he wants us to take charge.
Amen.
Amen. So he says when things are going well with you, don't forget the Lord your God. So these are the two extremes. So there are people when things are going rough with them, they desert God. There are also these other people when things are going well with them, they leave God. So it means you can leave God even if things are going bad with you. You can leave God even if things are going well with you. It's got nothing to do with whether you leave God or not leave God. Your obedience determines whether you will leave God or stick with God. Read verse 16 and 17.
In the desert, he gave you manna to eat, food that your ancestors had never eaten. He sent hardship on you to test you, so that in the end, he could bless you with good things. So then, you must never think that you have made yourselves wealthy by your own power and strength.
You see the secret. When God promotes you, when God lifts you up, never think I succeeded because of my hard work. It was all by the grace of God. Continue.
Remember that it is the Lord your God who gives you the power to become rich.
Spell it.
R-I-C-H. Rich.
Okay. Repeat and spell that last word.
Remember that it is the Lord your God who gives you the power to become rich. R-I-C-H.
Rich. Is that a typo?
No. Not at all.
Is that a grammatical error? No. And did the pastor write that verse? He just believes it. Amen. So you can only blame me for believing what God said. You can't blame me for writing the Bible. Okay? So, and I'm going to believe what God said. If he says he gives me power to become rich, I am rich on the earth. I cannot let the servants riding on horses and I'm keeping on walking on my feet. I will ride on horses.
Amen.
Amen. And that's not pride. Actually, you know what is pride? Pride is when you actually fight with God and you say, when God says you are a prince, you say, no, I'm a slave. That's pride. But if God says I'm a prince and I say, yes, Lord, I'm a prince.
Amen.
Is that pride? You know that the people, religious people are like this. You know the people who were fighting with Jesus for saying that he was the Son of God? Jesus said, I'm the Son of God. You being just a mere man and your father is even a carpenter? and you call yourself God, that's blasphemy. And you know they wanted to stone him for that. And he said, what wrong did I do now? Is it not written in your law? I like Jesus. So when they were blaming him for believing what's written, he said, what wrong have I done now? Is it not written in your law that those who believe God are called gods, and therefore the scriptures cannot be broken? That's how Jesus answered them. Amen. You being a mere man, you think you are God? That's blasphemy. He says, tell me, what wrong have I done? I'm just believing what your scriptures have said. Amen. So it's not blasphemy when you are believing the word. Tell your neighbor, it's not blasphemy when you are believing the word of God. That's faith. But people of the world, they want you to believe failing things. I'll give you examples. You know, people of the world, if they say, how are you? And you say, I'm blessed, highly favored, and recommended for more blessings. Who do you think you are? But if they say, how are you? And you say, hey, we are struggling, man. Life is tough. Yes. Yes. That's it. Don't you see why the devil is not angry when you say, hey, we are struggling, man. Life is tough. Will the devil ever attack you for that? You are a ready-made food. Amen. He will only attack you when you stand with God. Amen. I even hear people saying, just to be the devil's advocate. And I say, they say, no, it's English, pastor. Because I told the other ones in my management team, I said, don't you know that the devil has already lost a case? So if you're going to be his advocate, you're going to lose. No, it's just English, pastor. It's just a figure of speech. Why make such figure of speech where you want to be the devil's advocate? You know, for my sins, now I've been given this task. You know how the world, the devil wants you to talk what he wants you to talk so that he can always put you under? So that's why you need to be renewed. The Bible says in Romans 12, do not be conformed to this world. Don't be fashioned after the pattern of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may know what is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. Amen. So tell your neighbor, my mind is renewed. I've got the mind of Christ. I also speak like Christ. Yeah, I will never be the devil's advocate, not even a day. If you want to be the devil's advocate, that's fine. You can proceed. I like it that whatever God has promised his people, what he did with the Israelites, what he did with all those trusted in him, he wants to do it for me also. Amen. Go to Malachi. We're beginning our descent now. We need to land and we'll pick up. We can always pick up things. Go to Malachi 3. 6 to 12, Amplified Classic. Mr. MJ, we go Malachi 3, 6 to 12. Now, I want you to look at this because there are many things that sometimes we give you examples in the Old Testament. We tell you about what God said. We tell you about what he did in the life of Paul and Peter. We tell you about this, but you say, what about me, pastor? I like what my wife usually used to say, but these days you don't say it often, mommy. She used to say that I want to live in a way that if the Bible were to be written again, I would be written in the Bible. I also think I'm living that way. I think if the Bible were to be written of our modern times, I would have to appear somewhere. Amen? Yes, I'm living for God to the best of my ability. And when God comes back, he will be able to say, well done, you good and faithful servant. So instead of us only thinking about Hey, I wish if Jesus was here. You know, if Jesus was here, he would have healed them. Mm-mm. God wants to heal them through us. The Bible says, those who believe will lay hands on the sick. They will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. Amen. I want to live in the fullness of that. I want to live that to the best in this world. Because this is where the power of God is exercised. Yeah. Amen. And God does not change. Look at that. Malachi 3, 6 to 12, Mr. MJ.
For I am the Lord, I do not change.
Oh. Say your neighbor, did you tell your neighbor, did you hear that? He says, I am the Lord, I do not change. Continue.
That is why you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return?
So he says, I don't change. I know there are people who disobey me from the days of your father. I want you to come back to me. And they say, how shall we return? Mm-hmm.
Will a man rob or defraud God? Yet you rob and defraud me. But you say, in what way do we rob or defraud you? You have withheld your tithe and offerings.
Oh, say oh.
Oh.
Don't say oops. Just say oh.
Oh.
Because oh just means you're surprised, but you're not thinking it's you. Okay? So, he says, return to me. Mm. Even during the days of your ancestors, they were disobeying me. I want you to return to me. They say, in what way? How should we return to you? So how shall we return? Verse 8.
Will a man rob or defraud God? Yet you rob and defraud me. But you say, in what way do we rob or defraud you? You have withheld your tithes and offerings.
Oh, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. So obviously, if he says, return to me, don't withhold your tithes and your offerings, and you are withholding them, do you think that's obedience? Huh? So if it's not obedience, what happens? Verse 9.
You are cursed with the curse, for you are robbing me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithe, the whole tenth of your income.
Oh. This one, he tries to explain it because there are people who usually say, what is a tithe, pastor? What is a tithe? So just repeat. So I won't explain it. Let the Bible explain it.
Bring all the tithe, the whole tenth of your income, into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me now by it, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer, insects and plagues, for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine drop its fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you happy and blessed. For you shall be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts.
I agree with God. You can blame me for nothing else except for agreeing with God. I want to live like Daniel, where when people are looking for blaming you, they looked for fault in the life of Daniel. They found none except to look for things that are contrary to his God. Okay? So he says, return to me. Don't do what your ancestors were doing. So if you are withholding, there are people who were doing that before. Now, if you want God to bless you, you need to keep on staying, remain obedient. Remain in the right paths. Remain doing what God wants you to do. Amen? Because there is this thing, as we're winding down, I want to land. Because for me, I'll just touch a little bit on the tithe so that you can understand this. For me, the issue of tithe, it's an act of obedience. Because if God says I must do something, I do it. Amen? Even when you are going through the desert, you remember the widow woman that we talked about. And I told you that I always used to wonder about that widow was supposed to supply for Elijah. Why would God choose a widow and not somebody rich? Then I realized, no, actually, God wanted to help the widow woman. He wanted her to plant a seed so that she can get out of her trouble. Because according to her, she was going to eat her last meal with her son and die. The man of God says, give something to me first. Then you will see what God will do for you. So tithing is not the last thing that you do after you have distributed all your monies. What is tithing? Deuteronomy 14, 22 and 23, Mr. MJ. TLB. I know you like the TLB. And actually, I think this verse 23, I heard it the first time from you, Mr. MJ. Sometimes I hear some verses from my children, and I like it. Amen? It's just that when I hear the word and I know that you didn't write it, I believe it because it's God's word. Whether it's coming from a child or from anybody, as long as it's a powerful word that my father has, then I use it for myself. Deuteronomy 14, 22 and 23, the Living Bible, TLB.
You must tithe all of your crops every year. Bring this tithe to it before the Lord your God, as the place he shall choose as his sanctuary.
This applies
to your tithe of grain, new wine, olive oil, and the firstborn of your flocks and herds.
Yeah, now, I want you to listen to the purpose of tithing.
The purpose of tithing is to teach you always to put God first in your lives.
Did you get that? What is the purpose of tithing? To teach you to always put God first in your life. So you don't tithe last. You get that? The purpose of tithing is to teach you to put God first. You remember when I said that widow, when she says, I've got nothing, the man of God says, give me first. Then you allow God into your situation. Then you will see what God can do. The problem is that we think like that widow woman. We want to eat our last and die. And if you look at those of you who haven't been tithing, if you think things are getting better by not tithing, come and tell me after a year. Come a year later, and now you say, no, Pastor, now I've started tithing because things have gotten better. You will remain in that same hole. Until you take a step of faith. Until you take the step of obedience. So when I do something for the Lord, and you do something for the Lord, sometimes even your mind will question you. But it means you take a bold step of faith and say, in any way, I like the lepers, as we close. You remember the four men that were lepers at the gate in Samaria, in the book of Kings. It says there were four leprous men at the gate of Samaria. They said to one another, why do we sit here until we die? I think your situation, if you sit there, you're going to die in that same condition. So they said, if we go back to the city, there is famine there, we are going to die. If we sit here, there is famine, we are going to die. If we go to the enemy's camp, so you've got to go to the devil head on. If we go to the enemy's camp, so they knew there were two possibilities. You know, if you sit there, you are going to die. Huh? If you sit there when it's famine, you're going to die. If you go to the city, you're going to die. But if you go by faith and face the enemy, there are two possibilities. And I like how they put the possibilities. They said, if they kill us, I like in the King James Version, we shall but die. So they were saying, we will not be worse off than we would have if we stayed here or went to the city. Because dying is the same. But if they save us alive, we shall live. So it means the only hope I have is when I take a step of faith. So if they tell you, what if you try it and it doesn't work? It's not working anyway, even when I'm seated. So I won't be worse off. Amen? Amen. But I know God said, prove me now herewith. Test and see. Prove me now herewith and see if I will not open you windows of heaven and pour you out blessings that you will not have room enough to receive. And all the people of the earth will call you blessed because you will have a delightsome land. Amen? Amen. And I believe that's what people are calling me. And I'll keep on obeying God. I'll keep on eating the good of the land. I'll keep on serving God wholeheartedly. I'll keep on focusing on my lane and not run keeping on looking sideways. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate in it day and night, so that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then you will make your way prosperous and have good success. Let's stand up and thank God for the word that we've heard.